praise and thanks be unto our God, that we not only sing, but that we have the certainty in our heart that we will be there. He has prepared the place for us. I would like this afternoon greet all of you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially those who probably are here today for the first time. May we see your hand if you are here today for the first time. Yes, some. God bless you. In our midst is all our prayer. I am convinced of it. But it shall only be the first time for the first time. The second time, you shall feel already at home and having become a part of the brothers and sisters who gather here at this place, not in the name of a church or denomination, not in the name of a man, but in the name which is above every name, in the name of Jesus, in the divine, holy, redemptive name, in which is our salvation, our bliss, our salvation, our healing, in which is all in all. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amidst all the confusion, amidst in the things of this world, the name of Jesus shines amidst the people of God as the most precious which was given to us, namely the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has given us in this time by His grace. I may not forget to extend the most heartfelt greetings from the brothers and sisters from Krefeld, Brother Rus and Brother Schmidt. They send special greetings, and then also from the region Heilbronn, from the region Nürnberg, and last night from Salzburg. All of Austria was gathered in Salzburg. The hall was crowded, and we had a wonderful and blessed time in the presence of our God. And all are sending heartfelt greetings. Now I would like to read a word before we pray from Psalms 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Amidst of all affliction, in all tribulation, there is singing of praise in the hearts of the children of God. I think it was Paul and Silas who were beaten very hard, thrown into prison. And it says, at midnight they were singing psalms. They didn't complain and didn't murmur. They didn't accuse each other, asking themselves, what did we do wrong to suffer all this now? They glorified God, and God revealed himself to them as the Almighty One and as the Present One. And so also we, amidst in this life, which goes over hills and through valleys, through heights and lows, through joy and sorrow, let us not forget to give to our God the due thanks. And I believe the time has come in which God will have a crowd which will be a blessing to others. The time in which we arrived now, we can no longer deal with it lightly. We must redeem it in the presence of God. And I don't know, but two events that took place in Krefeld in the past 2 weeks spoke in a special way to my heart. The one was, I came out of the post office onto the pavement, and a man of middle age speaks to me and asks, how are you satisfied with your car? I said, this is of no interest. Yes, he says, one moment, I'm not yet there where I actually want to get with you. I have to speak with you. I had never seen this man in my life, never heard him before. And he asked, who are you anyhow? I told him briefly, and his answer was, please come with me. I invite you for a cup of coffee. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And I told him, listen, dear friend, I have nothing to say to you at all, but God has very much to say to you. Yes, this I want to hear, he says. I thought, this is impossible. This I didn't experience until then. This was about 2 weeks ago. And in the last week, something similar. I was walking down Rhine Street and see at the shop window the word new opening. And I didn't know at the moment, is it a bakery or something? And actually, I was in a hurry. And nevertheless, I went in and I see a man. He smiles over all his face. And I asked him, listen, what makes you so happy? I didn't ask, what can you offer or what have you to sell? I asked, what makes you so happy? And he says, everything what I do, this I do out of love. I thought, what is this now? And my reaction was, I asked him, out of what love? Out of the human or out of the divine love? And when I asked him this question, he was just as perplexed as I was before. And he says, one moment, I must talk with you. Go through here into the adjoining room. I thought, what is this now? Brothers and sisters, we can become a blessing to others if we are under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to look for the people. God looks for the people, and he leads them across our way. He establishes the contact to them. And then he gives us the occasion to speak with them. And may it be a speaking of God, not about frivolous things, not in fanaticism, but really in the love of God, that we show them the way of salvation. Before we continue with this service, let us stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We place ourselves under the coverage of your precious and holy blood, and we ask you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. You know what each and everyone needs. May we not have come to a man, otherwise we will be disappointed. But he who puts his trust in you will not be disappointed and will not be put to shame. Take this service. Take away all disturbing things from my life, out from all our lives. O God, prepare thy way in a mighty way so that you can come down to us as at the beginning into your church and reveal thyself as the risen one, as the victor of Calvary. We thank you already now that you will manifest your victory in this service, the victory over sin, over sickness, over all the power of Satan. You will manifest on all, in all, and through all who believe with all their heart and who trust you, that you fulfill your promises. To you be the thanks and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 25 from verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that treat the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. And noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. For the time being, this scripture, we live in a time in which this verse, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. We see this verse fulfilled before our eyes. What we hear in these days should trigger the uncertainty phase among the nations and especially among the people of God. It's not a children's game anymore, and it's no more peanuts which take place in our days. It's things which come to a head. It's fulfillment of the Holy Scripture on a high level. And I think that we, as children of God, cannot just go over it, but we have to ask ourselves the question, Lord, for how long, and what is thy will and thy task for us in this time? And I dare to say, I probably said it here before, there are two world powers, so-called, but actually there's only one omnipotence, and this is the omnipotence of God. Everything what calls itself world power will very soon lie in rubble and will have to submit before the omnipotence of the living God. But the point which I wanted to underline is the following. I have repeatedly said it here and there recently. The East acts, the West negotiates. And we must pay attention and see on what kind of way the goals are reached. Not by negotiations and by discussions, but by a direct acting. God acts. He doesn't negotiate. He acts. He walks amidst his people. He lets us know the things which are important. We can see it with a spiritual eye in this time. And when we read that evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, then we know that things are approaching which no longer will remain under human control. It will fall off from the hand of the people, and we will find out that God's word, up into detail, will shortly be fulfilled. But if already the outward things have come so close, how much closer is then the rapture and the taking away of the Church of Jesus Christ? We are, of course, not waiting for to witness still a World War III. We are not waiting for the day which will burn as an oven, but we are waiting for, before this great and terrible day of the Lord, to be taken up. For thus we read it from the Word of God, and that's how we believe it. As it was in the days of Noah, thus it will be in the days when the Son of Man will be revealed. Not only drinking and eating and the outward things were of significance. Of the greatest importance was that Noah and all who believed him, that means who believed God and the divine message, they entered the ark before the judgment came upon the unbelieving world. The same it was in the days of Abraham, when Lot was still in Sodom. There the Lord speaks in Genesis 18 with Abraham and sends the two angels to Sodom. He could do nothing until Lot was taken out from Sodom. Only then the fire could fall and the destruction could take place. The bride church does not wait for the day of judgment, on the day which will burn as an oven. The bride church waits for the glorious day of the return of our beloved bridegroom, who redeemed us, who called us by our name, who has atoned our sin and guilt, and who went to prepare the place for us. And he said, I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are also there where I am. And then he gave the promise through the Old and New Testament that he would send a prophet before this great and terrible day, who would turn the heart of the children of God back to that what the fathers in the early church got revealed from God, what they believed and what they taught. And we know also this promise was fulfilled in Acts chapter 3 verse 21. It says, perhaps we read it so that we have it precise, because many times also scriptures with the best intention cannot be quoted precisely, and therefore it is necessary that we read every scripture to have it precise, what we shall say or what we must say. Acts chapter 3 from verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. To me, it is especially about verse 21. Jesus our Lord must remain in heaven and waiteth until everything is restored, as God has spoken it by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Why is it not written here in the New Testament, the term, as he let it be proclaimed by the teachers, by the evangelists, and by the shepherds? Why is it written here in the New Testament, the formulation which was used in the Old Testament? I read it once again. What God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In the end time message, and this may surprise some, and for some it might even become a stumbling block, but I tell you, in the message revealed by God. Everything from Genesis 1, not only from Matthew 1, verse 1, but from Genesis 1 up to Revelation 22, the last verse, all of the mystery of God must be revealed. Did you get it? Then say Amen. Here it is written, what God, not what a man, or what prophets privately said, but what God has spoken through the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Therefore, we don't marvel that Brother Branham was not only an apostle, not only an evangelist, not only a teacher, but that he was a prophet, as since the days of the Lord didn't walk on this earth. The view, the spiritual view, to have the divine insight into the plan of salvation of God, which is given to a prophet by divine revelation, is so deep and so extensive that we sometimes might have big problems to go into the deepest depth of the Godhead and of the mysteries. But once we have won the confidence and know that not a man, but that God has spoken, then once for all, it's done with us. When a brother told me one should destroy all the pictures and so forth, then I could just say, beloved brother, if the Almighty God descends in the pillar of fire, as in the days of Moses, and this in a very critical situation in Houston, Texas, in January 1950, when Brother Branham and Brother Bosworth were put under pressure by the religious enemies in such a way, literally, a preacher hold his fist before the face of Brother Bosworth on the platform before 12,000 people and provoked him to the utmost and said, where is now your friend Branham, who claims that God is with him and that he sent him with a special commission? And Brother Branham hears the words on the balcony and comes silently down. And now the strange and extraordinary happened. This man of God does not take part in any discussion. He says, the God who called me and who sent me will testify for me before I can testify for him. And in that moment, the pillar of fire appeared above his head, and Mr. Ayers, who was appointed as a photographer from the press, he took the pictures. And all of us, we know this picture with a pillar of fire above his head. We are not dealing with a man who wanted to become someone great, who wanted to make himself a name. We are dealing with God, who before the return of Jesus Christ has sent his servant and prophet, and in this generation is revealed, as already emphasized, not only that what was proclaimed in the New Testament, but what God has spoken through all the prophets since the world began. And then there are people who cannot submit under the mighty hand of God, who very quickly can formulate with their words, "Yes, but we must test all things." Dear brothers and sisters, we can go from church to church, from denomination to denomination, from fellowship to fellowship. Every one of them will use the same pious formulation. But firstly, we must examine ourselves. That's how God's word says it. Let each one examine himself. And then I want to tell you something else. Prophets of God, who were ordained by God from their mother's womb for a special ministry, them God has tried. Amen. Them God tested. And to me comes now the thought which a brother told me. He said, "Brother Frank, if somebody learns a profession, then there is a double test. Although altogether seen, it is one test, namely the theoretical test and the practical test." Do you understand of what we are talking here? Whoever has learned a profession, he must complete a theoretical and he must complete a practical test. And these both results are then evaluated, and accordingly the certificate is issued. I am convinced that God has placed us from the theoretical into the practical test, and we must stand this test at all costs, and this with God's help and with God's support. I don't know how it was with you at school, but I was not a good pupil. I had with every subject the same problems. Nothing suited me properly, and I looked to my left and to my right at the math tests and so forth to get somehow the connection. I didn't look to my right and to my left to find a mistake in this mathematical test. I looked there to learn, to understand, to get the connection in this test. If we look to one another, to our left and to our right, to receive help, to walk forward, then it will look very different than if we look to our right and to our left in order to find something on which we can waste time. And even at the journeyman's examination, there were some, but each one had to pass the test for himself. One could, or at least with us, at common tests, one could look left and right, but at real exams, each one sat for himself. There was no looking to the right and left. There it had to be manifested, whether you learned something at school or not, whether you understood the subject or not. Dear brothers and sisters, we have come into the hour of test. And I don't know, but in the book of Revelation it says, of the hour of temptation, which will come upon the whole earth. Let us, with God's help, learn from one another, but the most, let us learn from our Lord and Master, from our teacher, from our Lord. For who is it who could better teach than He? We know people can be teachers, they can be evangelists, and nevertheless full of human mistakes, and one could be put to shame by it, or even waste time with it. But if we look to the Lord, then in every situation we can learn. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Who can say this? Learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. Sometimes we think we are, and nevertheless we are not. But He was meek. He was lowly in heart. He was blameless. No lie in His mouth. The Lamb of God, blameless. And He shed His holy blood on the cross of Calvary, so that we also, by the offering of His body, once for all, are redeemed and sanctified. In Hebrews, it is written, by the offering of His body, He obtained an eternal redemption for us. Not a redemption which lasts for a couple of years or weeks or months. An eternal redemption God has obtained in Christ on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And on this we hold fast to. And for this we thank our God. But now we must pass our test. Perhaps the time of learning from one another is over, that you cheat your way through and looks to the right and left to walk somehow forward. Maybe the hour is here that we must look up, as our Lord said Himself. When you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. Then we shall no more look to the left and no more to the right, but to look up, because our redemption is drawing near. Luke 21 will agree with a word from the Old Testament, which we read in Jeremiah, and will apply also to this time in which we arrived. Luke chapter 21 from verse 8. And He said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name. Not only in their own name, but in the name of the Lord. Because we are already so far that the people have lost confidence and have no more a spiritual orientation as it actually should be. And then there are people who say, we come in no name, only in the name of Jesus. And it says here in the Holy Scripture, and He said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And then from verse 25, And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. If we may see all this among the peoples, among the nations, and when we feel with them who are sorrowful, and I think that we as the children of God feel with all people, no matter what nationality they might be, we feel with them in their tribulation. And I don't want to mix into politics, but we know that the Islam has declared war to Judaism and Christianity. And we know that all so-called Christian nations, that their leaders, their presidents, their chancellors, in not one of their speeches, they have put Christ upon the lampstand somehow. But this Jimmy Carter, even in his election speech, he spoke of the new birth, which our Spiegel magazine, the most critical magazine which we have in Western Germany, they printed it with a full speech, namely the scripture from John 3, Ye must be born again. And to the editors, it seemed that they compared him with Billy Graham, calling him the machine gun of God, and as an evangelist, but not as a president. And he was laughed at from the start, or pitied him, whatever, just looking down on him. And I am allowed to judge this, because internationally I have informed myself. This man, no matter how one thinks about him, took care of it, that all the world, what a Billy Graham did not manage, this a Jimmy Carter managed, that the name of Jesus Christ was put upon the lampstand to reach the new birth and the kingdom of God in our time. And I had the following thought by it. The great evangelist has mixed more and more with politics, and the ongoing president mixed more and more into the evangelization. What do we know which ways God uses? Today it already becomes apparent by the prophet Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. The king of the north has breached already into the camp from which he will never go out again, for he is, according to the word of God, the leader of all these nations, which then under his rulership will march against Israel. And they have to march against it. And we see that today's world situation, it becomes worse for the West. But let us forget now the East and the West. Let us think on the fulfillment of the Word of God. Let us focus on the Bible prophecy. Who would have expected that the free Arabic world suddenly falls into the hand of their arch enemy, and that the Western nations have of necessity restrict their trading relations, and that the Eastern nations fill their gaps, and by this standing together shoulder by shoulder, being knit together in every way, to then together make the attack against the people of God, Israel. For me, this I say open and clear. I don't see here the politics of a Jimmy Carter or of a Brezhnev. I see the clear fulfillment of Bible prophecy before our eyes. And I think we as children of God, who we notice that the time is really coming to its end, we should strengthen our trading relationships with one another as well. We should stand together. The enemies of Israel, they know only if they stand together, then they think that they will succeed to make the mighty blow. Children of God, brothers and sisters, don't think that we can have the victory of God if we fight one another and are against each other. The victory of God can only be manifested there where the people of God becomes one heart and one soul, as in the upper room, and that the Almighty God can really manifest himself. And when the peoples move closer together, showing their solidarity, regardless of race or color or whatever, they move closer together because biblical prophecy comes true, then I say in the name of the Lord, people of God, come together, shoulder by shoulder, and heart at heart. Only in this way we can overcome and stand our ground in these last days. Not as individuals, not as shattered ones, not as ones who argue with one another, but united under one head. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is my request. And before it was my request, it was his request, the request of our Lord. He said, Father, I in them and you in me, so that we are all one. There is no making of religious politics under which God's people could unite. The making of religious politics brings division among the people of God. But the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of His precious word will work the unity by the Spirit in the Church of the Living God. And I think we, as the children of God, we owe it to our Lord. I know we live in democratic systems and everybody can say what he likes to say. But I ask myself, can a political democracy be transferred to the Church of the Living God? Here we have the standard of the everlasting Word of God. And under it, we must submit from the first to the last. And I tell you, on my way from Heilbronn to Nürnberg, I almost only wept. I listened to the news. I heard of this mishap and of all what is happening. And I said, Lord, your coming has come so near. How will I stand before you? How will I appear before you? And I could say to the Lord, and I thanked him for the privilege that I could serve him. But I said, Lord, if there is still something in my life what cannot stand its ground before you, may you forgive it, blot it out, take it away. And I could weep very much in the car while driving. I was so deeply touched. And I said, Lord, every day could be the last day. Every week could be the last one. What are we still waiting for? Our God is waiting that we are melted together. And you all know, before one brought a meal offering in the Old Testament, first the individual grains of wheat had to be ground so that they lost their own identity and are absorbed into the whole dough, so that hands can form this dough. Church of the Living God, we must be ground. We must become one. And if we have become this, not by human ingredients, not by human programs, but melted under the fire of the Holy Spirit and united under Jesus Christ, our Lord, then we make the decision to speak of the great deeds of God, of which we have heard many times. And if this does no more touch us, it would be the most terrible what could happen to us. May God's word touch you and me time and again anew, as if the Lord would stand before us and would speak this afternoon with us. Ask yourself the question, what attention you would give to the Lord if he would stand here visibly today speaking with us. We would move forward on our seats. All of our being here would be surrendered up into the deepest part of our soul, and every word from his mouth would be more precious to us than honey. And then the Lord speaks these clear words to them whom he called and whom he sent out. He who hears you hears me, and who receives you receives me. Brothers and sisters, we are dealing with God, not with a man. And I say once again, a Brother Branham didn't want to go, just like a Moses didn't want to go, just as Samuel didn't want to go, as Jeremiah didn't want to go, neither he wanted to go. And I tell you, from April 62 to April 66, I wept very often, and I said, Lord, take whomever you like. I am not skilled enough. But then the hour came, and I can nothing for it. God's gifts and God's callings are without repentance. You may feel repentance to have decided this or that. Not God. He knows all things before they start. He knows already how they will end. And he knows that in this generation, the bright church must be born. But let me tell it to you. To Brother Branham, we're shown three stages, or whatever you call it, in his ministry. The first was the evangelization with the mighty healings of the sick. The other was the teaching back to the original pattern of that, what was taught and practiced in the time of the apostles. But the third, the final, was the prophetic revelation of the plan of salvation of our God. And we know that the greatest man of God, our beloved brother Paul, went over into eternity before that what is written in the last book of the Bible was even made known, let alone before it could be revealed. But we live in that time where everything what God has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets, not from the modern age, but from the ancient times, from the very beginning up until the end, Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning, he is the end. He walked in the Garden of Eden, and he hang on the cross of Calvary. He is all in all. To the evangelists of the full gospel understood, Branham, on the 1st of April 1962, in his speech, he referred to it, that he should come to Switzerland together with Brother Argenbreit, and they prepared to come, and the Lord spoke to him, don't travel any longer as an evangelist. Return to Jeffersonville and store in the food for my people. This he said on the 1st of April 1962. And therefore, the storing in of the food was at that moment still in the future. And the Lord willing, I will, in the next circular letter, refer to it. For the Spirit of God vividly urged me to speedily translate the sermons which were preached after the opening of the seals to give out the food to the people of God. We don't wait for a great Brother Frank who suddenly comes on the scene with an extraordinary authority. And we also don't wait for a Mr. Miller or Mr. Meyer that he comes on the scene. We wait that the food of God, the revealed word in the bride, triggers such a divine power so that the Holy Spirit comes down, and so that the whole body of the Lord is put upon the feet of faith, and so that God can once more glorify himself amongst his people. I have time as long as God also has time. Sometimes the people almost want to drive someone with a stick to do this or that. Our God is never too late. Also now, he will do the right thing at the right time. Persevere. Hold on. Don't look back. Not to the left and not to the right. Don't give your ear to every voice, but to the voice of the Lord that has spoken with us in these days in a very clear way through the Thus Saith the Lord, through the servant and prophet whom God has sent to restore all things. There are people who will say they have the greatest confusion. Were there not people in the days of Jesus who thought in the same way? They said, we have hoped that he will redeem Israel. And what is now? Not what you and I hope for, but that what God wants to do according to the time course of his plan of salvation in the specific hour or in the specific time. Only this shall take place. And I was so surprised. Just today, a week ago, I said to Brother Rus, let us drive to the brothers in Holland. I want to tell them what God has laid upon my heart. And there were three brothers. The one listened and says, Brother Frank, 3 weeks ago, Brother Jackson, who was an old friend of Brother Branham, he phoned me and he told me, translate the sermons of Brother Branham, which he preached after the opening of the seven seals. I turned to Brother Rus, who sat at my left side, and I asked, what do you say now? God will do all things in the right way. Now the bride has to be brought into lockstep and be strengthened inwardly and spiritually by the divine food. And I tell you, also this scripture will be fulfilled. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said and says, my food is that I do the will of him who has sent me. When the revealed word of God will take shape in the church, then there is only one option, that we together do the will of God, and that he can carry out his commission through us by his grace. Well, some may say now, with this all can count. Make no mistake. God never leaves a link in the chain missing. From the Reformation came the story under Wesley, then under William Booth. It went from revival to revival, from clarity to clarity, from knowledge to knowledge. God has in this generation, since the years 1946, when the angel of the Lord, visible in full shape, entered the room coming to Brother Branham and gave him the commission and told him, I am sent from the presence of the living God to convey unto you this commission. Since that moment, a working of God started, which through the great evangelizations, becoming then smaller in the teaching, then coming smaller in the revelation of the word of prophecy. And perhaps it will come to a comparison as in the days of Gideon, that of 30,000, only 300 are left. But then God can, through 300 who remain and who act in His will, He can do more than through 30,000 who are not ready to act in His will. Our God is on the throne. And what did the singer sing so wonderfully before we started? I wished I had all these words now to my disposal. Our God reigns. He rules. Nothing went wrong to Him. Nothing has fallen out of His hands. Nothing went wrong with God. With you and me, so many things might have gone wrong. So many things might have failed. So much can be wrong. With God, everything is all right. He never made a mistake and will not make one in future. I rejoice in the living God. Not only to live in this generation, but to have a direct part in that what God has spoken and what He does. Theory and practice, both must take place. The teaching we received, and we will now translate the last sermons. And I ask all, when I now think about it, don't read the sermons once. Read them twice. Read them three times. And pray until God has opened unto you the understanding for the scripture. Nothing comes by itself. And I tell you, this whole book is the truth of God. This book is in every church and in every Christian denomination. But only then, when this biblical truth has been revealed to you and me by the Holy Spirit, then you and I have received a personal relationship to the fulfillment of this word. All of us know, all the churches preach about Jesus Christ, but only there where He personally can reveal Himself. Yes, we have even time until the brother gets out of his wheelchair. I will not dare to do anything in presumptuousness. And I tell you plainly and frankly, I'm not ready to pray for peanuts and to leave the great things aside. I'm only then ready when God is ready. And when God is ready, then He doesn't send the blind home. Then He makes them seeing. Then He doesn't say to the lepers, in your home something is wrong. There I must first clean up. He says, I will be clean. And then He says to the paralyzed, get up, take your bed and walk home. Then the things are no more in your hands and in my hands. Then you and I are in the hand of God. and his work is in his hands, and then it happens by the power of the living God. Another way does not exist. Pardon me when I get carried away a little, but the time is so near. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Oh, that we could grasp it, that we come closer to the Lord, and that we are joined inwardly with one another, that our gatherings every time could be a love feast of our God. And even if we come together as believers, I tell you honestly, every time when the conversation is spiritual and about divine things, then after making a visit, you go home happily praising God. But if after a visit one has spoken about him or her, then one walks home depressed and downhearted and has wasted the time, and some things can never be taken back. Not one single word which you speak you ever can take back. Oh, how should we start to let us be given grace from our God and say, Lord, lead me, not what I would like to say, but what you like to say about this subject, what you want to give us now. On this we will speak. And then there will not only be unity, then the blessing of the Almighty God will come upon all of us in a mighty way. I cannot do otherwise. I believe that the Lord will finish his work which he started in a wonderful way, not for my or for your sakes, but for his holy name's sake, for the sake of his word, for the sake of his blood. He will fulfill his promises, and he will bless us together. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray.
Singen's noch einmal. Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Nur allein. Ich habe den Saum seines Kleid.
As we bow our heads, persevering in prayer before God, I would like to ask whether somebody is here who has never dedicated his life to God. Do it in this hour. For this reason, God has led you here. Receive and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the true God and eternal life. He is our reconciliation. He our salvation. He our advocate. He is all in all. As we stand now in prayer and reverence in the presence of God, I ask those who would like to be brought in this prayer before the throne of grace that they raise briefly their hand, whatever your request might be. Who has something? God bless you. The Lord sees all the hands, right in the back. God sees the hands. He sees the hearts. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We believe that He answers prayers. We believe that He will bring His matter to pass. Salvation and healing is the work of God in your and in my life. He is Redeemer, He is Physician, He is all. Accept Him today and say in your heart and confess it with your lips, Lord, I believe that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, manifest in the flesh. You took my sin and guilt upon yourself. You have shed your holy and divine blood so that I am redeemed and delivered. You let yourself be wounded and stricken so that I am healed. I receive you today as my Redeemer and as my healer. Confirm thy word in my life, and you will see God will not keep you waiting. If you can receive it by faith, it will be given to you now. God is not a God of theory. He is a God of practice. He fulfills what He promised. He gives what He promised. Let us now together pray, and all the requests, also this here, bringing it before the throne of grace, we raise together our voices to our God. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence in the precious name of Jesus. This name, which is above every name, everything must submit. Every power of darkness, in this name we preach, in this name we pray, in this name we receive what we are praying for. Confirm now thy word, O God. Work faith through the preaching, through your Holy Spirit, and flow through all of us in a mighty way. You are still today the Savior. You are still today the healer. You are still today the deliverer. You shatter all bondage and you bring it to pass. You make totally free worship and honor. We proclaim your victory in your name to your people according to your word. Hallelujah. Thanks and honor, glory and worship be to your wonderful and holy name. Amen.